Welcome to the Modern Investing with Side Pocket podcast, where we find some of the brightest minds in investing, entrepreneurship, real estate, tech, and more, and ask them, how do you stay financially ahead of the curve in the dynamic world we live in? But before we start, a quick disclaimer, the content we are discussing through this channel should not be understood or construed as financial advice. Regardless of anything to the contrary, nothing available on or through this channel should be understood as a recommendation to buy or sell securities or constitute financial advice. With that out the way, let's get started. Today, we have Nick Larson, CRO at Unity Central and host of Silicon Zombies podcast and an investor of our own here at Side Pocket. Welcome to the show.
What a pleasure to be here. Thank you, fellas, for having me.
For sure. Could you share a little bit about what you're doing today? I think it'll be a great place to start.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Today, I am building a company in the supply chain space. And our second product is in the financial compliance and regulation space as well. So navigating the dynamic between things moving around the world. In fact, we just landed a big deal with Meta, which is pretty exciting. And then also working in the financial compliance space with companies like Citibank. Yeah, all sorts of good stuff. I also, as you mentioned, are a host of Silicon Zombies, and now we're in the top 5% of shows on Spotify in over 40 countries and get to host brilliant people. In fact, Danny has been on the show before. So we've got access to truly remarkable storytellers and founders.
Awesome. And did you mention Meta and logistics?
Yeah, exactly. So have you tried the virtual reality, or I guess the augmented reality headset by chance?
Yeah, I have.
What was your experience with that,
Archer? Super awesome. I'm in a whole different world. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I tried it too, and I liked it a lot. I haven't tried the new Apple one. I would like to give that a spin. But essentially, how we're able to support Meta is by making sure the right product gets to the right people at the right time. And that's, without getting too deep into the technicalities, essentially we can pull signals out of unstructured documents, like a PDF or an EDI, whatever, what have you, and then match that against where a specific step in a process should be. And this is all on a proprietary blockchain. Essentially, any change, we can give a timestamped transaction ID and then allows us just to make sure that we're staying on track. Yeah, and they're doing incredible business, and we've had over 10x ROI. They tried to build it internally for a couple of years, and they came back to us and said, we need Boardwalk's technology, Unity Central. So it's been a pretty exciting journey so far.
That's awesome. That's a great company to be working with.
Thank you. We're having fun.
Yeah, and you're also an investor, right? Definitely an investor in Side Pocket, and we'll talk about that next. How did you first get into investing? Where did that start for you?
So I grew up in the Bay Area. In fact, my mom worked at Apple for 30 years, and I can share some fun stories about that. And then my dad was at Lockheed for 30 years. My brother and I, we grew up on computers and just recognized the interest, pun intended, of compounding values and picking the winners. And if you don't really know what to look for, it can be daunting. And that's why I think Side Pocket is such a valuable resource for using a lot of these like deep models that are typically only used for, you know, billionaires and hedge funds, right? So think of like dynamic portfolio reallocation strategies for the average investor. And for example, our portfolio is up over 30%, and that's not doing anything. That's just the model, the Side Pocket engine working in the background. So that's, yeah, it's pretty impressive stuff. My wife and I also do a little bit of real estate investing and early stage technology investing. In fact, we put some capital into Agrisonics last year, which is a technology that makes plants grow faster using sound. Do you have plants at home? Do you ever talk to your plants or play them music or anything like that?
I don't.
Okay. Simply put, they've done these studies where they'll have Mozart playing for plants, and then they'll have super intense death metal playing for plants. And then after a while, the ones with death metal started to wilt and die. And then the ones with that were listening to Mozart bloomed and were much healthier. So we know that sound and vibrations can have an impact on the cellular level. So what this technology does is it's patented vibrations that allow for the stomata in the plant to widen, which allows the nutrients to be distributed more effectively. So think of a several X yield on cannabis or the applications in space tech. And I think sound tech as a medium, I think we're really only scratching the surface. And I know that there's some interesting applications within oncology, like finding out where cancers and tumors are. So I think it's going to be an exciting next couple of years for this kind of deep tech.
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating stuff. And it's funny, as soon as you mentioned about the plants, I'm like, wow, this could probably impact cannabis yields.
Yeah, great minds think alike, right?
What I liked that you mentioned earlier is that, you know, when you were younger, you were fascinated with probabilities and seeing patterns and numbers. When you first learned about Side Pocket, was that like, wow, it does all that hard work for me?
Yeah, just to back up a little bit, I don't want to paint myself as a quant. I'm definitely more of a creative musician. My superpower is bringing great people together, specifically people that have different approaches to thinking and frameworks of how they think. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I get visibility into some pretty unique people. Like Danny, for example, he's about excellence. He's about trustworthiness and drive. And I knew Danny back when he was building Skunk Lock ages ago. And for anybody who doesn't know about Skunk Lock, it's a lock that, first of all, is like impossible to cut. And then if for some reason the thief is able to cut through that, there's compressed, noxious, over-the-counter chemicals that makes them throw up like on spot. So what's neat is there were other companies that started to paint their locks, or other people that started to paint their locks like Skunk Lock, because it would deter these thieves. So anyways, I share all that with you, Archer, because I know that Danny tackles big, hairy, audacious goals. And so I knew that Side Pocket was going to be worthwhile. And in addition, he's been at it for a long time. And it's good to have the domain expertise. And certainly Danny has that in finance and in fintech. So this goal that you guys have, it's thrilling, it's important, it's daunting. And I also get fired up about finding new ways to solve big problems. So excited to keep the momentum with you guys.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Definitely interested in learning more about your approach to angel investing and how you've grown as an angel investor and what you look for in companies.
Yeah, for sure. One of my favorite quotes is, actually, there's a few. Misfortune breeds opportunity. So have this lens of when you see something wrong, it's, hey, that's actually an opportunity to fix it. And then also skate to where the puck is going. Gretzky was famous for this. If you see a trend and you think are moving in a specific direction, learn about that stuff. Find out spaces that are adjacent. Find your passion in that. And then when those two things can intersect, then you get, again, like compounding value. I think there's four different kinds of luck, right? There's blind luck, which is just random. There's motion, which is like when you're hustling and there's good momentum. And then there's situational, like awareness, like you having a specific knowledge, and then uniqueness. So by focusing on founders that are trustworthy, and community builders and have domain expertise, these tend to be a good Venn diagram of where to focus. And also, you want to be strategically valuable. If you're just putting a check in, I guess there's different flavors of how people approach it, but I always feel better. It's like a risk mitigation strategy of getting rolling up my sleeves and working with the founders and getting them new customers and introducing the new partners and maybe. And I'm just trying to see how it could be very valuable. Just at its core, like first principles, boiled down to fundamental truths. And and break down the problem and create new solutions. And I think that's a good framework for approaching angel investing. What are your thoughts, Artur? What have you seen?
Yeah, no, what I like about what you mentioned is that you roll up your sleeves, you get involved. And I see it pretty often where people are like, look, hey, we don't just cut a check just because we just met. Let's build a relationship. Let us make some introductions. Let's, you know, let me see and feel you out. And if this is really going to be a good fit, because angel investing is so high risk, most startups fail and you don't see your money for 5 to 6 to 7 to 10 years. And that's why do you do it? And some of my favorite investors that I've spoken with are ones where I want to give back. I want to help other entrepreneurs. And also, right, you mentioned, they just love being in the mix, right? So it's just an exciting place to be. And it's largely why I'm in this space.
Yeah.
And it's cool. We're constantly challenging established rules and boundaries. And we've unlocked some stuff here at Side Pocket. You know, it's a good time. And I think that for investors like to be involved. Otherwise, just give your money to an advisor and sure. Keep doing other things. But
yeah, a couple of things that I think you mentioned that are really important. One of those is understanding your audience and being able to be a good storyteller, right? So for example, like if we're just talking, we'll end up like retaining 10% of what we listen. But then if you introduce picture or video or humor, the comprehension and the retention skyrockets.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs was famous for going on these walking meetings, and the brain is able to process and understand and retain information better with visual stimulation, plus factor in the fresh oxygen that you're getting, and then the psychological positive impact of walking side by side with somebody towards the same direction, like you're on the same team, as opposed to like, you know, holding your cards like you're playing a game of poker. If we can understand our audience and speak so others want to listen and listen so other people want to speak and focus on just the basics of storytelling, like the setup and then the confrontation and then the resolution. We've been doing that since day one, right? Around the fire, sharing stories of inspiration and how to keep us safe. And I think what happens in this model, and it happens in business too, is that people can see themselves in the character, or they see a certain piece of themselves in that character. And how do they approach the challenge? How do they overcome? How do they have to like dig deep? Is it something that they struggle with? So I heard this quote a while ago that virtue cannot exist without overcoming its opposite. So if you're not afraid of heights and you climb a tree, you're not being brave, right? But it's a better story when you have to overcome something. And then we grow as humans. And that's like it's a core element of what it means to be human.
I really like how you put that. And I think that's where we all have a vision, right? For how our lives unfold, our own stories, and we get inspired from others. And it helps, like you mentioned, with when we can relate to information in the form of a story, that's where we can retain it better.
Exactly. And then we'll be able to share it with others later. I mean, that's half the fun. That's one of the reasons I really like listening to the All In podcast, which pulls in economics and politics and science and business and entrepreneurship. And it gives like a better holistic view, or helps me understand the interconnectedness between these things.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, is there anything that you're paying attention to right now in the marketplace as you're moving and shaking and building business that's top of mind for you that you think people should definitely have on their radars?
I suppose it depends on what specific space you're in. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention artificial intelligence, right? Like on one hand, we've got generative AI, which creates. And then on the other hand, we've got machine learning, which predicts. And we're certainly in a cycle where, you know, some folks are saying that $10 to $11 trillion of value is going to be created over the next decade or so. I just think it's good to constantly be teaching ourselves. And if you can find an inherent foundational passion in these kinds of things, it can make it less of a chore and more like you're excited about the process. I think also it's pretty neat to be able to, I'm fascinated recently by biomimicry. So learning from nature and then recreating that in a lab to solve specific problems. Like, nature is full of mystery. Did you know that Velcro came from how the mouth of a whale closes, for example?
I did not.
I just found that out recently. Like, a lot of this Gore-Tex material, this where water can easily get wicked off. These all started as just like crazy ideas and then prototypes and concepts. And there's this thing I saw recently on YouTube. It's like Prince Rupert's Drop, which is molten glass it's dipped in ice water. It's the hardest substance known to man. But it's just, I think there's a lot of inspiration that we can draw from nature. I don't know exactly how to do this, but I would be fascinated to explore mangroves and how they're able to take salt water and purify it into something potable. One of my favorite movies, it's called The Big Short. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Said that Michael Burry, who's the star of that movie, right? He said that water is going to be the next most important element that folks, or the most scarce resource. So if we could use some kind of technology to sort that out, I think it'd be really interesting. Also, and this kind of just jumps over to China briefly, but I know that they're creating a ton of nuclear facilities. And so if they can replace labor with machines and energy over the next couple, few, maybe 10 years will become, I think, like marginal cost, if not essentially free, then the only limiting factor is the raw material. So like, what does that mean for the price of goods or for fabrication of computer chips? And as compute becomes increasingly important, there's data centers popping up all over the place, and the efficiency of compute is set to drive over 10x over the next year or two. Yeah, I'm curious, what are you seeing recently?
Yeah, definitely on the quantum computing side. I seem to be meeting a lot of Web3 folks and talking about how quantum blockchains and all of that. And especially with what we're doing here, it's just like everywhere there's ways to leverage technology and make our lives better. And everything you're talking about, especially what you're talking about just right now, China getting their basically replacing labor. That means people don't have to work those jobs. They could do other things. And price of goods, if it's less expensive to manufacture, sure, there's going to be a time when they're going to be reaping profits on their innovation. But as more and more people start creating their own versions of this by learning from the leaders, it'll eventually drive down prices. And it's just, it's a very dynamic world. Always, there's no straight line. It's easy to forecast out in the future, but there's so many things that can happen even within the next couple of months. Even just look at AI, right? All the experience using ChatGPT, like how much it's changed in just 1 year.
Oh, and my God.
So it's really cool. And especially working with a team at SciPocket the last 3 years, really focusing on the financial services industry and investing. It's just being increasingly applied, and information is much more accessible overall than that ever really has been. More people are investing and trying different things. But again, it's like you mentioned, it's a matter of staying on top of things. That way it's easier to understand where it's going and how you can apply it to make your life better.
Exactly. Because we start to see patterns, and that's essentially like how the brain works. Right. Like, I think people have this misunderstanding that the brain is like a rules-based engine. But on the contrary, it's like there's this constant flow of information that we're getting through our different senses. And the strength of the connections in our brain, essentially like a neural net, like we're building with in computer science, those are throttled up or throttled down based on the reward or the pain feedback loop. Understanding how we can recreate that and learn from the brain, I think, like what's happening with robotics, it's like really pretty fascinating. I'm a huge fan of what you guys are doing, because you're like doing well and doing good at the same time. If we think of the markets as a competition between safety capital and risk capital, there's a lot of external elements that are coming to play that constantly are shifting that market. But if you can have, when I say you, the everyday average investor who can place some capital with Side Pocket and trust that it's going to perform for them, it's almost like giving them peace of mind. And then they can spend more time with their families and go on better adventures with their families and just get the most juice out of the squeeze.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a way, like we're mentioning, that there's all this technology happening and finding ways to make your life better. And it's definitely in the investment standpoint, for sure. Leverage what we built, leverage the great team that we have, and let it go to work for you. And
yeah. Not to mention it's easy to get emotional. Emotion comes in and reason leaves. But instead, if you've got a model that's making these decisions for you, you guys have a ton of collective wisdom. And I'm not just talking about like your team, but the foundational models that you've built are my portfolio with you guys is a terrific case in point. Maybe 7 or 8 months ago, I picked the highest risk one just because I wanted to see how it was going to perform. So like a stress test. And the recommended holding period is 7 years. And I don't know, maybe you and Danny can share a little bit about the Sharpe ratio and the Sortini ratio. But it's neat to see these things, just like checking it daily or every couple of days and seeing how it's performing in respect to my other portfolios through stock. And what are you finding from a technical perspective? What is the most unique insight that you guys have had? What can you say without opening the kimono too much, so to speak?
I'll touch on that, and then I'd love for Daniel to pop in. But I think, because like right now, you're up 30%. It's amazing. And I'm sure that maybe on somewhere in your mind, you're like, so when's this pullback? Should I move it to cash and then pull back and then put it back in? But there won't be. Or if there is, it's risk managed. Because again, on a monthly basis, whatever's dropping, it will be closed out. And it's all about minimizing that drawdown, which is the key. Because like you mentioned, when the emotions come in, it's the professional traders, investors, they have a strategy that they execute and they're very emotionless about it. But I'm sure you have experience wondering about your investments underperforming and you might be missing a trend and you'd hop on something, but you hop on it too late and it goes down, you lose the money. And it's a soft spot. It's a weakness for us as human beings. Yeah. We're not machines. And and having the machines do all this stuff is definitely a huge help. But Daniel, I'd love for you to chime in on the technical side because you and Sri built this stuff from the ground up.
Yeah, sure. So that's a really important consideration. Everyone's a genius in an up market, right? And Side Pocket handles that very well by increasing the beta of the strategies to maximize return in these periods of high innovation. So as a result of AI, there's been a lot of innovation, but Side Pocket really shines in down markets when people are, you know, scared. Today, the markets are at all-time highs, and most people in the market are terrified that a crash is coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's normally holding a lot of people back from doing the right thing, which is saving and investing for their future. Most people don't know if a crash is coming today or tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, etc. So Side Pocket takes that guesswork out of it, of when to reallocate to protect your assets by applying these sophisticated predictive analytics that previously have been only available to the 1% of wealthiest Americans with the most access. And I think that's ultimately what the ethos is of the company is. We want to make people feel comfortable to invest at any point in the market, not just after a crash when everything's, let's say, really cheap, but even at all-time market highs like today.
Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, like you mentioned as well, it's a matter of educating people. And that's where the new partnerships that we're forming with creators and influencers are coming in as partners for us to really help people grasp what we have here for them so they can start using it to their benefit. And I'm curious, how much about that program have you heard, Nick, or if you have any thoughts about it?
So I think first and foremost, I think it's important to consider that content creators are replacing traditional advertising. So there's more people that are throwing their hat in the ring and curating information and insight and adding like their own unique take on things. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it sounds like a lot of content creators are not making as much money on YouTube. So I guess that has a potential, like a number of reasons why. However, by shifting their audience, still being able to entertain and educate and drive value, for content creators to be able to drive this channel program for mm-hmm. folks to learn more about Side Pocket, to take their financial future into their own hands by using technology that really is cutting edge, I think it's going to have just like profound implications at scale. So Sam Altman, he says artificial intelligence is on-demand intelligence. I almost look at Side Pocket as the same thing, but for finance. And if you've got a bunch of debt, it can seem like you'll never get out of it, right? I was listening to a hedge fund manager a couple weeks ago who had lost billions of dollars, and he was just devastated. He said, my career is screwed. I can never get out of this. And so he was talking to his family. And after taking like a week or two off, he said, you know what? After talking to my family, I just realized I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. And I don't want to look up at the top of the mountain where I was because it's just way too much. It's way too high. I'll never get back there. However, after a month of making incremental progress, he was that much closer. And then after 6 months, he was that much closer. So I think this is a good metaphor for life. Is you don't have to do it all at once, but if you can use these tools and these technologies to be able to help you accomplish and achieve your goals, then it'll have positive impact on the rest of your life, because you'll actually be able to be focused and present with your friends and your family when you're having conversations, as opposed to half being there because you're stressed or you're worried or you're nervous about how are we going to pay for X, or this bill is coming in on Y date, or I'm not going to be able to hit Z goal, or whatever the case is. So I'm just really a big fan of what you guys are doing.
No, for sure. It's stressful. Like, families break up over money. People break up over money. Sure. And definitely very important. We even have a creator in the wellness space that's a partner with us. And they're like, look, health and wellness is important, but if you don't have your financials right, that also impacts your body with stress, disease, all of that. It's all connected.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. We're living longer. That's, you've got to plan accordingly. You have to have an attitude. Of course we'll succeed. That's what my dad always says.
Said.
Yeah.
Speaking of life, what do you want to be remembered for at the end of your life?
I view myself as like an iron chef of connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll get questions like, what do you want your legacy to be? And I've thought deeply about this for many years. And like, when I'm gone, I don't think any of that's going to matter. So my legacy, I think, is really just not so important. Instead, I want to focus on the time that I have here and have as big as positive impact. I want to create the space for the maximum expression for the people that we have around us, because then that can have, again, like reverberating positive impacts throughout their community and other communities. It's like when you drop a pebble into a pond and you never know where the ripples are going to go. I don't know. I don't want to take myself too seriously. Nobody else does, right? That's a famous P.G. Woodhouse quote. If we're able to enjoy the ride, learn, and be good to others, that's one thing that consistently is true for all humans, is that we feel better when we're being in service for others.
Mm-hmm. What's like an example of something that you do to positively impact people just in your day-to-day?
here's a practical example. So I close to 10 years ago, I started this co-working space with some friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And we scaled to 12 locations, mostly in the Bay Area. In fact, Danny used to come to the parties we hosted. And we had 600 startups across these locations. I got a chance to meet a lot of pretty incredible people. So I started keeping this document titled Nick's Shortlist. There's one column for their name. There's one column for a couple keywords, like their specialty and their focus or how I met them, so on and so forth. And then one column for their LinkedIn. There's about 600 people on that list now. And there's the human brain has a cap at about 150 people. So it's difficult to keep all these things organized. However, I get to be, however goofy the term is, a quote-unquote super connector, because I have a process. And it's, again, it's not fancy, it's just a database. But when somebody says I'm looking for X, I can make introductions, like 3, 4, 5, 6 introductions, and know that they're going to good people, because I track those kinds of people. And you got to be consistently good to them. And I recommend everybody start a document like this. So keep something. This is essentially like the top 1% of your personal CRM, and be of value to good humans. And then it will just come back in spades. This is, you guys having me on the show is like a perfect example.
Yeah. I was taught by a mentor of mine a long time ago that a symptom right like this, and the formula was in every interaction, make sure you do these three things. Number one is appreciate the relationship. You don't say this directly, but in your conversation, acknowledge and value the person and thank them for who they are and offer help and ask for help. Mm-hmm. So you're building that bond, you're developing that relationship, and then you're being a value just by being that person. There's people I'm sure that you have that you've been in touch with. You guys maybe never have closed any business together, but you still answer each other's phones, because it's not just about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then you never know when something can come to fruition, right? We should focus on who we're meant to be, and then not to who we're meant to be with, I should say. You find your people, and then you can find a good tribe. And like, again, back to what you guys are building. Danny's been building this from scratch, and he's a great leader. And because of that, there's a great tribe, and that tribe has an awesome culture. I think Level Up Ventures is a great example of that. So it's all about being consistently good. That's how you become great.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you overall, like, there's tons of, I'm sure you've probably seen lots of different apps and platforms like Side Pocket investing apps. How do you see SidePocket really fitting in into the investment landscape?
There's four levels of the stack, right? You've got applications like you guys, and then there's infrastructure, the foundational models, and then the chips themselves. I think these things are going to be playing an important role because they're working in conjunction. We had somebody on Silicon Zombies about a year ago who is Dominik Andrzejczyk, who is a Polish quantum engineer, and he had a really cool project with Lufthansa in Google, where through dynamic passenger reallocation, they were able to save $250,000 a flight or something crazy like that, minimum. And I studied for several months quantum engineering and quantum physics because I wanted to be valuable while on the show and be like a bridge to from these very deep technical experts, because Simon Lancaster of Omni Venture Labs was the guest host for that with Dominik. But back to your question, like, how is SidePocket going to play a role? I think it's, I don't want to say autopilot, because you want to be thoughtful and keep an eye on these things. Mm-hmm. But with greater computational power and these increasingly impressive foundational models, that's going to serve the applications that you guys are building. And that's not pigeonholed just within fintech. It's across every sector. So I think what SidePocket is building is like almost like a peace of mind. And peace of mind is the most expensive thing that you cannot buy. Right?
Yeah, definitely. If you don't have it, it's so expensive.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because it ends up just like taxing your mental well-being. And what was that one quote I heard quite a while ago? It's like worrying about something that hasn't happened is like paying tax on something you didn't buy. I might have screwed that up, but I think you guys get the message, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. At the end of the day, it's useless. I saw something on Instagram where some guys don't worry about the negative that might probably not happen. Instead of taking that energy there, put it towards the optimistic side, just as likely, if not more.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You guys really got the tiger by the tail, as far as I'm concerned. Is there any kind of growth metrics that you can share?
I'll leave that call to Daniel there, our CEO. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Let me put my chief compliance officer hat on. Paul's not here on our call today, but I think what we can say is we've, at this point, accomplished 100% close rate in terms of partners that we've approached. Wow. So these include, broadly speaking, some of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, some of the biggest influencers in the world, some of the biggest newsletters, podcasts, etc. And I think regardless of their reach and audience size, I think that speaks volumes to how necessary it is for us to make this move in the industry where we're empowering the new financial educator with these tools, with the support, and most importantly, finally aligning financially the investment and financial industry with them.
Yeah, and I love how you put that. And it's like giving independence to folks, which feels very American, right? Like when government policies backfire and all of a sudden, who knows what's going to happen with the looming debt crisis? Like we're printing $1 trillion every 100 days. So like relying on the government just does not seem like a feasible long-term strategy. So this is why you need to take that into your own hands.
Yeah, totally. Nick, since you've been using Side Pocket, what advice would you give someone considering getting started with Side Pocket?
Like anything, I would consult your financial professionals that you have that are either friends or somebody that you hire. I would talk to somebody who has experience with Side Pocket, I'm sure. I mean, and going to Side Pocket's website, there's some incredible information there. But just unemployment goes up 1% and 40,000 people die, right? Because there's unforeseen implications in the market. So if you can be ahead of some of these ways, and again, you can take care of your family. And I think that's empowering somebody to take care of their family is probably the best gift that you can give them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's at the end of the day, that's why we do everything that we do.
Yeah, exactly. And we're all the same, right? We all want love and to be listened to and appreciated and to make forward progress. So yeah, it's good stuff. But just in fact, we're going to be having our next live event at the Park James Hotel in Menlo Park on the 30th of April. We're going to have Dr. Xin Zhang and Nitin Pachisia from Unshackled Ventures. We're going to be discussing the future of venture capital and why focus is the next chapter of growth. So yeah, super excited.
Awesome, man. And how could people sign up for that?
Yeah, we'll just go to siliconzombies.com and sign up for the newsletter. There's all sorts of great events coming up as well.
You're the man, Nick.
Hey, right back at you. Thank you, Arthur, for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Likewise, appreciate your time and hopping on and your support. And I hope you continue winning with us at Side Pocket. And I look forward to having you on here again sometime.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, fellas.
You're welcome.
This podcast is sponsored by Side Pocket, the only automated robo-advisor on the market that combines multiple tactical asset allocation investment strategies to generate returns. If you don't have the time to professionally trade and you're tired of being at the whim of the market's ups and downs, consider using SidePocket to automate your investing. SidePocket monitors the markets and automatically rebalances your holdings each month for you to maximize returns while protecting against losses. Losses are not a one-to-one relationship. When you lose 50% of your portfolio in a bad quarter, it requires 100% return the next just to break even. That's why SidePocket applies sophisticated quantitative methods, including tactical asset allocation, to systematically minimize these drawdowns and consistently protect and grow your hard-earned savings. To learn more, visit SidePocket.com.